Well, this in yesterday. So the Gemara says in Saita a background offense that there's a masera that when the term Kohanim is said, so these two Kohanim are present. However, if there's only one, then you don't say Kohanim, because the pasuk says Amar Lahem. Amar Lahem is Lashon Rabbim, and therefore minimally two. This is the position, I believe, of Abaye in Saita. As opposed to the Talmud Bavli, which I just cited, the Talmud Bavli is saying that a single kohen is not summoned to go ahead and duchen. But the Yerushalmi and Brachos disagrees and says that when the kol kohanim is made, we're inviting the shivte kahuna, the shevet, inviting the tribe, not the individual members. And we passed in like the Bavli, namely that the chatzilah should have two kohanim. Amar Lahem. That's why I'm so makbid. I have in the yeshiva about 16 kohanim. So I have a Yetzahara, the Davide, except I have to leave my house around 6 or so, which is not a problem, but I prefer the Davide Mishul if I can possibly do so. Anyway, but the Rishonim have a machlok is when the kohanim should be summoned. Look at the Beis Yosef here, Kuf Chav Ches, he writes that while the Ran says they're summoned before, let's say, as we mentioned last night, Rashi and the Rambam hold that they're summoned right before Birchas Kohanim. That's one issue. And the second issue is who's the one who calls the Kohen? Who summons actually the Kohen? The Tesis writes in Brachas, other Rishonim also write this, that nowadays the one that we call the Gabbai, not the Shiat Tzibur, he's the one who should summon the Kohanim. But the Rambam Shita is that the Shiat Tzibur is the one who calls the Kohanim. That's also Machlokes of Rishonim.
Because
exactly.
He represents the two.
Okay.
So
I'll get to that in a second. So obviously, if there are no kohanim, then we say Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu. Chutzlars, if I call correctly, that's what they do because they don't duchen most of the year, so they say Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu. And here in Eretz Yisrael, I don't think. The meaning is to say, unless there are no kohanim. So usually, Baruch Hashem is no kohanim. So then we don't have to be concerned about that. But I'm going to discuss that separately, actually. There's one to say about Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu. I want to just now mention a number of the... there's another fascinating article before I get to the next issue that's also discussed here. Namely, the question is whether the first word also has to be called out. The same issue occurs in the context of Tfiyah Shreve or Shoshana. Everyone knows that the first sound is the Tfiyah. So is there a need to say the word Tfiyah the first time? So many hold no, there's no need for it, because it's clear that's what's going to be sounded. That's how the Gemara derives from Sukkim, that the order is Tfiyah through a Tfiyah. We don't know exactly what the truth is. Machlokes, that's how we have all the, what evolved as a result of the Abo's Takana. But here, a similar question, should the Shiat Tzibur read the first word of the bracha, Yivor Rechicha, even though the Kohanim are not confused for the first word, they're still going to say that word, there will be no confusion, that will be created. So the Shita Sarambam, and that's the, I think the custom in the Egypt, if I'm not mistaken, and the Shalom Archav, which is, writes to the Shiat Tzibur, should say the first word. Now, so I'll let you follow the Rambam. And the first word is not necessary. It doesn't have to be said because it's fairly evident that that is the beginning of Birchas Kohanim.
The problem is that Bracha was called in name on a different tempo.
This is discussed in Shulchan Aruch, which is why in my former shul, I had practice sessions with the Kohanim.
I wish you would have it here.
Well, I will not. I better not respond to that. But anyway,
isn't there a relevant to just say because then
at least you have a full puzzle, the whole thing, rather than chopping up a massacre, you say a full. Okay, that is an argument also about Brendan Britt, what Rabbi White said, that it's a question of a half second in the
psalm.
But this is a
Mahomes solution.
Many Rambams. Okay, and now I'm going to discuss now, yesterday I spoke about shoes, I spoke about duchen, a few other things. Now I'm going to continue along those lines and now discuss the issue of The Gemara said that you have to say Veloshon HaKodesh. This is very fascinating because we have a Mishnah in Eil Ne'amar, the seventh paragraph of Sotah. The Mishnah has a whole list of items that can be said Veloshon. And it's a long list. I'm talking about what we just read recently, namely the Isha, who's accused of being a Sotah. So the Pasha that can be read, it can be read Veloshon. And we have Vidui Maiser, can be said Veloshon. And it mentions over there, Kriya Shema can be said b'choloshin. It mentions Tfilo can be said b'choloshin. It mentions Brichas Amazon can be said b'choloshin. It's a long list in the seventh paragraph of Saita, El Ne'amarim, that can be said b'choloshin. Now the question is, why Dafka here? Brichas Konin, the Gemara says, has to be said b'l'shon HaKodesh. That's one of the Tanoim that Chazal said, Kosev Baruch Hu b'l'shon HaKodesh. That's what Chazal understood. The Gemara even questions that. Maybe it doesn't mean b'l'shon HaKodesh. Maybe it could be said in any language. So the Gemara says, Exer Shama, that with reference to Sukkim by Agrizim and Harevel, they're also the language of Eilel Yamdu, Levarach HaSaram and Hagrizim. So the Gemara derives Exer Shama, Levarach over there, and Kosev Baruch over here, and that's like over there is Lashon HaKodesh, so to here also is Lashon HaKodesh. So the question is, why is there a distinction? But there is a distinction. What the reason is, there are other things mentioned in the Mishnah and Saita that require dafka Lashon HaKodesh, not only Birchas Kohanim. One of the Birchas Kohanim, that's mentioned in the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah and Saita and the seventh era. First Mishnah, everyone knows that. Many people don't know in the Sefer Saita, but they know the Amar. It's a light apparent. It's not so complicated. So, but also you have the Pasha of Bikurim has to be said dafka Lashon HaKodesh. And Mitzvah Chalitza, that's also the Sugi Dena Yavamis, has to be said Lashon HaKodesh. So there are a number of things that say Lashon HaKodesh, and Birchas Kohanim is one of them. Has to be said after Lashon HaKodesh, that's one. And what's the din if I say not Lashon HaKodesh? We had Kohanim in the Al-Tahim that they were Bali Tshuva. So what they used to do is they would read the transliteration of the Birchas Kohanim. That's a question whether the Yotze with the vernacular, Pashtus, you're not Yotze, Mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. Anyway, so I taught them how to say the bracha in Hebrew in order to make sure we don't say Birchas Kohanim. I have a lot of faith on Birchas Kohanim, if you did not know this by now. But anyway, I can't touch this on 100,000 reasons because to get Birchas Kohanim on a daily basis, even though theoretically I could have traveled an hour to the Saudi Minyan or 2 hours in order to. And I asked one of my rabbis, he told me he didn't think it was necessary. If anything, he thought it was a little bit out of the box. What?
Could you also check if you're in person?
So that's more difficult to do. Because it doesn't say that Shechol Av. I learned the Chutzpah Skanim probably 40 times already in my life. The last 21 years. Twice a year I do with the topic of the Yeshiva. So I didn't see such a lot of. They said the Gaon was very makrid on Dichos.
But isn't
that Chazaka? That's what we're all about. So we have to learn that Sugya to see Kohen Chazaka. The fact that Kohen Duchos doesn't necessarily establish him as a Kohen. That's for sure. But Raya, when I was a little kid, I used to go up there also. So I thought it was, I wanted to see what's going on under those talisim. So that shows you that it's not such a right. Okay. But another requirement, which is also mentioned, Shulchan Aruch is Amida, that has to be done by Amida. The Gemara also learns it out from, again, Zer Shavuos. Now the question is, can a Kohen recite Birchas Kohanim while leaning? In my former shul, I wanted them to build a, not just they had a platform, but I also wanted them to build a railing, guard railing, because they were all the Kohanim in the shul. And they had difficulty standing, and I thought they should build a railing on either side. This way, those Kohanim would be able to recite Birchas Kohanim, and can you do it while you're leaning sort of against the guardrail? So interesting. This is a Machlokes HaPoskim. This is the HaPoskim who say you cannot lean. In general, is that called Amida? This is discussed elsewhere, but it's Tefillah and elsewhere. Whenever you have to lean, that already is not considered to be Amida, but the Shaila is. Mr. Brewer says over here, he writes very clearly, Mr. Brewer writes over here that a Kohen who feels Shvach, is unable to recite Birchas Kohanim while he's standing, cannot ascend, even if he would be able to recite the Bracha while leaning. That's Mr. Brewer, I believe, passing the halacha in this matter. So I think we have to try our best to see what can be done in terms of helping such Kohanim.
What about the wheelchair?
Going to Chalush, and Yachal Amoda Yismicha, Lo Yisakapa, the Hubi Yeshiva. That's called Yeshiva, Sakov Amida, and that's the same thing with the wheelchair. So either or, there was actually a Kohen who came in a wheelchair, but he stood up for Bichas Kodim. I asked him if he could possibly stand, and he did. There are a lot of different. The Pashtas. The answer is yes. So that's a very significant machlokes among the Gdolei HaPoskim. And now, what I told them to do is that as long as you're standing when you say the bracha, that's sufficient. In between the words, you can lean. This way, you have a chance to rest a little bit in between. That's the poskim.
Drop your hands as well.
Exactly. But if he's unable to stand for the duration, then he should leave before the Sheikh Sibur comes to the bracha would say, and should not be involved in the chaskoni. It could be that if there are other kohen in present, as you're suggesting, I think in the Kapachayim talks about it. I'm not a book in the Kapachayim. I've learned the Sefer actually. Because it's a fantastic, absolutely wondrous afro. So he writes that the other Kohen present, it could be that he says he can actually be able to duchen and respond amen to a bracha recited by another Kohen and then join in as the Kohen recite the psukim and also give the bracha, but that's not so poshut. Mishavura doesn't quote that psak of the Kapachayim. There's a question that since now you're starting up already, so we may as well, you know, this is not what I had in mind. Kohanim with prosthetic legs. So can they say Bechas Kohanim? The prosthesis. This is also not uncommon. So there are two concerns. Number one is in Hesach Hadas to the Tzibur. Although today, I'll be honest with you, first of all, there are ever improving quality of prosthetics today. You know, you can't even sometimes notice it. You don't even know. I mean, obviously, they're wearing clothing over the prosthetics. So it's not necessarily a problem. And generally, couldn't you wear these cloth shoes without laces? I mean, this is I'll tell you honestly, it could very well be that with Maninu Anu, that it's not a problem. And even the issue that we're talking about now, is that called leaning? Is that if someone is on a prosthesis, prosthetic leg, is that considered to be leaning? Is that considered to be amida? Is that called standing? On the one hand, he's not leaning from the perspective of his posture. On the other hand, technically, he's leaning on a prosthetic leg. So this is a whole discussion. And can I read that I heard from my Rebbe, and this was out from him, his Rebbe, it's not a problem. He said it's not considered to be a problem of leaning, and even the other postim are cholik on this. Okay, this was just their chagat, wasn't included, just as an added bonus. There's also a Gemara in Saita, where the Gemara discusses the Kol Rav. This is not a simple matter, the Kol Rav, because not every kind necessarily as a Kol Rav, assuming Kol Rav means a loud voice. Other Achrayim say, no, that's not what Kol Rav means. Kol Rav means a pleasant, audible kind of voice. That's how many interpret the Mishnah Berurah calls it a Kol Benedi. I'm not exactly sure what the Mishnah Berurah means when he says a medium kind of volume. And he writes Mishnah Berurah, if you have a soft to other, we have Tzarud. What a Hebrew. Tzarud. Ayudiazem, the Daber Brit, the Shetzer Ketzer. Anyway, so if you suffer from a sore throat and your voice is hoarse, Shabur says you can't participate in Bechas Kohanim. And you should leave the shul before the Shirat Sibur reaches Ritzeh. Now, the question, I saw in the Tzitz Eliezer, I'm going to Waldenberg Zatzal, so he, that sefer is, you have nothing to do for the next 25 years, just retire. I'm sure where the shoot Tzitz Eliezer. Excellent. So now Hashem should give you Avichas Yom Vishonim. I would say it would take at least 25 years and go through all the volumes of the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer has a Boki Shein Kamo, Boki Madim, and there are two or three tshuvas that are very similar in terms of their style. Tzitz Eliezer is very similar to another tshuva of Adonai of Menashe HaKadosh Klein. That's out. But it's a little bit too from Williamsburg, some of you know it. And then there's a third. These three, I'm not sure I should mention the third for a different reason, but these three have something in common. They basically, every tshuva, they quote Kolato Akula, essentially. And I find sometimes it's very different than Igris Meisha. The Igris Meisha, he asks him a shayla, he has a gemara, got a taz, a magad avram, and a yehuda, a kivege, and he might say, and he passes the shayla. And these people, they literally are makif kol haTorah kula. There's nothing they don't quote in their tshuvas. There are a few others like that. I won't get to all of them. But anyway, he talks about this issue, the Tzitz Eliezer. Once I thought I would go for the Tzitz Eliezer, and then I gave up. Of course, I started. I like to read the Igros Moshe when I'm tired. So after I finish Zlotim and Menachos and Rabban Latoya, then I get tired and read the Igros Moshe. That's why I need relaxation. Anyway, so but he, the Tzitz Eliezer, he defends the custom of Kohanim, even if they're not able to produce a sound that will be audible to the Tzibur. He is a giant in the Mako for Klal Yisrael. There are certain areas he's very machmir, but in general, he's an incredible Mako. I'll tell you what goes on. I think you alluded to it. One Kohen raises his voice. We have one or two Kohanim that have very loud voices, and the others are a whisper. You barely hear that. So, are you Yotzei Bichas Kohanim with such a situation? So I'm asking, there's a machlokes regarding the minute of some community where one kohen is the one who's in charge of raising his voice. So what's your job? As long as you hear the group, you'll fulfill your obligation. That's generally what the assumption is.
Still have the question of one kohen. Who, if it's on one kohen. No, okay.
So you have to hear the kohen for sure.
She said it has to be blended. That they need to have the same.
Okay, so that requires
the
training. So Rabbi, tell us, maybe you'll go and train all the kohen.
When I become a rabbi, I will take you.
There's a gemara called Mindain Smukhalava. Anyone of this caliber, the audience has me. I told you I was so much successful. You got smicha. So he signed the clock, and then he said, he's Mekayim HaPosek. It's Lama Chasiyad, Lama Shapar. Anyway, so that's the smicha he gave to us. The kids are, so this is a discussion, how you depend upon Kol Rav. What's the mission of Kol Rav?
I saw what the truth is that. It means that you're intending for the last row in period.
Okay,
the last row in the shul down the street, but your own shul.
Okay, that's it. It's a large shul. I dive into large shuls in my life where if you sat in the back, you could not hear the garden. I'm talking about a shul that is three times the length of the shul, maybe four times in Toronto, but it's such a shul.
Maybe we can send that comment to Toronto.
It's good that you arrived on the scene. Because we need Mills of the Dichusa. We use that before the Shia, not the entire Shia. But okay. The kids are Baruch Hashem. There's a Shagla in Achronim regarding Shomer Kaonim. There's a famous Shagla by Salevin and Tzivin Chazanesh. They all talk about the question whether a Kaonim can fulfill the mitzvah from Shomer Kaonim. Let's say a Kaonim is very sore. He says, his fellow Kaonim, you make the bracha and I'll hear you. I can't, I have a sore throat, and I'll be able to shurek ha'ina. So many contend that it doesn't work. Why not? Because here's the din of Kol Rav. Whenever you have a halacha of Kol Rav, there's nothing in shurek ha'ina. It's a famous Beis HaLevi, and then Tzim and Chafanish talk about it. It's interesting that I once saw in the Chubis of called Rashi's Bikurim, which was written by Rabbi Tzal HaKaina Vilna, in the back of the Shas. He has a lot of the two brothers, each one was a bigger guy than the other. So Bitzala, they lived in the days of the Vilna guy. Bitzala kind of Vilna has two Chloration Bikurim. He writes there that the custom was in Trieste. Trieste is in Italy. Thank you. That only one kind would bless the Tzibah, and the other kind would be Eishes and Shomer Kainan. That was Dominican Italy. That was the practice. So he writes in Reishes Bikurim. So a number of Achrenim talk about this, but as I said, Bessalevi says that no. Kol Rav, we need Kol Rav. That's a prerequisite of Bechas Kohanim. You can't use Shuvaka in that. The Nitziv disagrees. The Meshadav disagrees. So Baruch Hashem was the basis for this position that took place in Italy. And now it could very well be, this is all totally out of the famous Hakira, which is the whole of Rashi Tesis. Rashi Tesis discussed Shuvaka in it three times in Shas, in Brachas, in Sukkah, and in Megillah. Three times in Shas, the issue is again, Mechavash Olar, that if you are davening Shmonesu Galachash, and now the Shriach Tzivah comes to as last for shots, and now it's a kedusha. What do you do? So our duty is to be quiet, and we listen to the shiatsiva and the yotzi to shomek onen. But that's totally machlok rashi test with three times the shots. But that's totally the machlokes and the famous chakir, which seems to be machlokes of rishonim. What the nature of shomek onen is? Is shomek onen simply a means of fulfilling my obligation by listening to another person, it's a potent, as we would say in Hebrew, of a vehicle. The two we also had to shemekah on that. What does it literally mean that by listening to another person beside a certain text, ki'ilu amati ba'atzmi, shemekah on that, ki'ilu on mamash, ki'ilu I said the text. So the latter option may include the additional attributes are given to the text, such as kol rov, if you hold like the second style of hakira. The Pasha just told you that hakira. And alternatively, maybe you can question the nature of the obligation to recite the bechaskan of the kol rov. What does it mean with kol rov? Each kohen has to say the bechaskan of the kol rov, each kohen individually, in order that he can be heard. What does kol rov mean? Like you suggested, the chazal seek the other hamadav al chaveru. It's like a group kind of experience. We should hear the Kohanim, the group of the Kohanim. So that's also, so if I'm not mistaken, there is such a practice, and since Eliezer calls this practice, Avaldeber calls this practice, that there are communities where one Kohen, he's the one who said the Psukim out loud, and the other Kohen, they recited them quietly. That seems to be, I never saw that practice myself, but there is apparently such a practice.
If
Shemekah only means that you are indicated that through someone else making the bracha, ki'ilu, that's right, that's a tzadim, or that's a shayim. It's a famous hakira. It's totally on this hakira. Pasha, it's totally on this hakira. And even if you assume Shemekah only, ki'ilu, beirachti, ki'ilu, amarti, ki'ilu, amisti, by virtue of Shomeah, in effect, I can fulfill my obligation by listening to another person. That's exactly the tzad of hakira. That's what Rabbi Weiss is saying. That's what he's saying. That's a divin halacha. That's a divin halacha. But the works. The verse says that Megillah and Rosh Hashanah. So anyway, so the train kol mishtami was used by Yaakov Weinberg, the famous tshuva. Sidei Shabbat. Very Rasa Weiss is saying about that tshuva. He could be semich on the psak. But the longness is Mikdash Negin. Anyway, so the... it's a shver tshuva because people are taking that tshuva and basically can't tell us that. They call Misha, his mutter, when they're singing Dram Shabbikdusha, etc. You could even hear the individual voice of a woman, which he did not say. All tshuva is written in the context of Kira, that for Kira purposes. The question is, what's called Kira today? Not everything is Kira. I mean, so you can argue that Kira was expanded and is a mock of Akhla. I remember when I dabbled in the shuls in the United States. So often you can hear women belting it out. I mean, the pizza is right next to you, and the mom is belting it out. But you assume, you know, again, Mar said that the Isha of Kol Isha is only the Yoga Makira, Man Saita, Man Gila, many sugars of Shas, it's Bojo Bloch, it's in an Ine. So therefore, you don't know, you don't have the woman's her picture in front of you. So then there's a number of women together. I assume that's the local man. He quotes the affiliation that tshuva calls him a svadish poskim, which is actually found mentioned by svadish poskim that dvarim shebikdusha, it's songs of Shabbos and the likes of that could be a makom mahakel of the also contained. I think that's what all these kiyum organizations are saying. That's what I understood. They called the tshuva the agamayim. They never went through the tshuva carefully. There's clearly a kiyum basis. That's the whole basis of the tshuva. And three kolam mishtami. I heard from Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, then the Tzias Kapayim, which is raising the hands, how do you perform that? So again, what it says in Sholach, actually, this is mentioned that the Kohanim should first face towards the front of the Arba Kodesh, and then at one point in time, they turn. Question, when do they turn? I think our practice is to do it with Tzivon. At the Tzivon, that's when they turn and face the audience. The Gemara has this discussion. The Gemara says, "Pan of Pan is one of the tzloyim that is ma'akev in Bechas Gadim. That's be face to face." I think I mentioned it a number of times when I was a kid. The entire shul, with the exception of my father and the rabbi of the shul, the entire shul turned around and their backs over the garden.
And we had a kohen in Los Angeles. I'll never forget it. He came up And when, no, he didn't turn. He kept facing the Aaron Kodesh. And I had to stop from giggling because it was so silly.
Okay, Rabbi, tell us, you are Baruch Hashem, Bar Urion or Bar Avon. And therefore, you are in a different category. And not everyone grew up with a father like yours. And the background that you have, he was urged to be Mechudach to Hagdoin Ramamiel, the Chazak Nebrachim, who became the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. He was the one involved in the contest with Avon Soloveitchik, who will be the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv in 1935. He became the chief rabbi because he was a member of Mizrahi. And Rav Soloveitchik was a member of the Aguda at that time. So he wanted a Mizrahi person. But you grew up in that kind of surrounding, that everyone was like that kind of back. I have a whole shul of hundreds of people. They all turn around, they're back up to the Kohenim because they worry about Gemara Chagiga, Tazayim. I don't know if they're doing Gemara, but Gemara says, Shalom is Takel, ain't no chaos. The person looks at the Kohenim, Bishat Mechas Kohenim, his eyes have become dim.
That raises a question. The Sadduris, actually the Sadduris, are covered. Whether or not they're facing enough, the Amishim can't see them.
But they're Anusim. Gemara said they're Anusim. They consider to be, that's the answer. They have no choice.
And here they had a choice.
That's right. They wasn't to turn around. The Rav attempted to correct it, unsuccessful. They had this in their head, the Ain of Chaos. That was in their head. There's a book by Nathan Asadel, Jewish folklore. Only you would know about this book. Who else? You never heard of it?
What's
Jewish folklore, Nathan Asadel. He used to study it when I was a little kid. And he writes, they do it one time, their eyes are dim in one eye. Then they do it a second time, the second eye becomes dim. That's why it takes that Gemara in Chagiga, the Zion interprets it in a very little kind of way. Then the question would have a third time. They really can't see. I mean, so what, the whole thing is. Okay, but anyway, there was this very strong, unfortunately, misunderstood, misguided position that many people had. Okay, but anyway, the point is that the Birchas HaMitzvah, Rashi writes in Sota that the Birchas HaMitzvah should be recited while facing the Tzibur before turning to the people. And the Shulchan Aruch here, he writes in Siman Yud, in Sif Yud rather, of the Mechaber says that you have to call them a summon, they turn around and recite the Birchas HaMitzvah, and the Rambam says the Kohen, they first say the Birchas HaMitzvah entirely, don't stop in the middle, and then turn around and say the Birchas Kohen. So what do we do? The Kohenim, again, the problem is that should the Birchas HaMitzvah be said facing the Aron Kodesh, out of respect for the Bracha? That's what many argue.
Right.
Out of the Ches and the Bracha, you should face the Aron Kodesh. Others say no. The Birchas HaMitzvah should not be perceived as an addition to the Birchas Kohenim. It's beside when you're facing forwards. So here the Achronim, the Shari Chu, the one who quotes it over here, he said that while the first part of the Birchas HaMitzvah should be recited while facing forward, the Kohenim should turn around before finishing the Bracha. This is the end of the Elio Rabba. And namely, when do you turn around? So some say you turn around while reciting the Bracha, Bi'ava, the word Bi'ava. Others say, no, but Sivano. So this is the compromise that we seem to have between the different positions among the Rishonim.
It's a compromise.
Achon is actually having a good time. It's not exactly the same, but okay. It's a good, it's a cute analogy. Now the question is, as far as the level of the Sias Kapayim, namely how high, how low, this is another area where many Kohanim do different things. So the Mishnah writes that Chutz HaMikdash, that the Kohanim raise their hands to shoulder level. So the Beis HaMikdash is above their heads. Dafkin the Beis HaMikdash above their heads. So now the question is, how do we pass in here? So here in good days, the Rabbi says, Magbiyim Yideim Keneged Kisvaseyim. Umagbiyim Yad Yimon is Tzas Lamala Me'as Modis. Means the Kohanim should raise his hands to shoulder level. So how come people do it to the height of their head? So that's based on Yaakov, based on the Eir HaKadosh, based on other Mekubalim. And the Rav Chaim said the right hand should be slightly higher than the left. That's also, well, the halacha. The reason is because it says in the Pasuk Vayikra, Vayisar Nes Yadav Elav Vayivarchem. So the word Yadav is written in the singular, which means that one hand should be held higher, Kashi and Shmini. One hand should be held higher than the other. And the Gemara actually said that the Kohanim are not allowed to bend their finger joints until they turn their faces away from the tzibur. He mentions here the Abesu Karo that, and this is Yadua, that the Kohen actually was better with his hands and fingers creating five windows or 5 gaps between the index and the middle finger, and the ring and the pinky finger of both hands, and between the index finger and the thumb of both hands, and between the thumbs of the right and left hand. And that comes from the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Meitzis min ha-charakim, e-charakim. That's what it's based on. It means the Medrash describes Hashem looks through the window between the shoulders of the Kohanim and between the fingers of the Kohanim.
Five.
That's what I just indicated, correct.
This is that's
why I know I'm not a Kohen. But I can't do it. I've tried for years, unsuccessfully.
Okay, if you were a Kohen, you'd be able to do it.
That's exactly the point. What was that? Yeah, the Rabbi Yosef Karo here also adds that, I think he says it later on. Yeah, it mentions here also that the Kohanim should turn their faces and hands from side to side because they're sort of spreading the bracha over the people. Now, with the Shem Hashem, what do you do when you get to the Shem Hashem? Then you are?
Just like a lulav.
No, I'm asking whether when does the spreading take place? When do you sway from side to side and when do you not sway from side to side? Correct.
Why? It's very similar to the ruler. You do not move or wave the ruler
when
you say Hashem's name. Or you Hashem, Hashem, stop.
Right.
You don't move.
What's the marker for that? Why don't you move when you say Hashem, Hashem, since you're referring to the lulav, so they bring psukim, Hashem, Zeket, Kufin, that is awkward. All kinds of psukim, probably Apia Kabbalah. That the reason is based on
what?
Yeah. The Shem Hashem requires an additional dimension of Kabbalah. But the person, let's say, the Kohen is unable to raise his hand, so then he can't say Bichaskani. Unless, as I told you, if he rests in between. There are all kinds of Achrayim, we're talking about different. The Kohen Kodim are very, very elderly. And again, they can't raise their hand for the duration of each word. Even if he can do so, even though he rests in between them, that's also fine. We're talking about creating some sort of different types of potentin, which will like a splint to hold your hands up. Unbelievable. The Yehuda has a chew about it. Other chew about this as well. What? And let's say God forbid, cutting his hand was empty. You can't say Bechaskan. If your hands are intact, even though you're missing some fingers, you can still say Bechaskan. But it's clear that the Mishabura says, it's Paul Mishabura. You want me to read it for you, obviously, okay? So we find it.
By the way, while I'm looking, Hello.
Here it
is. Should wait. They rush through it sometimes.
It's against the Gemara. It's against the Mechaber. It's against all the Poskim. I'm not sure what they're rushing. They don't know the Mechaber, they don't know the Gemara, they don't know the Poskim. Anyway, so you should learn a little bit of Skadi. It says, in Nisha Yodah Marasasin, when Yodah Lagbiya Yodah, let's say a person's hands are shaking, he can't lift up his hands. And unless he can't, I feel the other market. I feel Yasin Simuchin, Shirkshur Makreva, he has something attached to his head, his hat. Yatis Mem Yodah, it's a kind of sling of sorts where his hands are placed in between. They're resting on that contraption, whatever the contraption is. Lo Mami, the Havi on Yudai Smicha. Vanan Benina, she used to see their mama, she's a Chuba Nabi Yudah. What? That's right, that's correct. You're unable to raise your hands properly, you can't recite Bichaskan.
That's not sure instead of the Brachot. And I'm going to keep the Brachot properly, it's not going to be foul.
Now, also in terms of this, also is quoted here. One second, it's not, it's a bit earlier. Yeah. That Kohen cannot turn around until the Shiat Tzibur, as you just mentioned, Rabbi Tillis, that until the Shiat Tzibur begins to recite the final Brachot Chazar Sashat, Sim Shalom, at that point they also bend their fingers. They shouldn't leave the Duchan that we discussed already 100 times till the Shiat Tzibur actually concluded the Brachot and the Tzibur answered Amen. And there's the minog, Mishnah Berurah calls a minog to say Ashikar. I'm not sure why. Very few people do it. I don't understand it. Mishnah Berurah quotes it. He says, a minog yodua. The wish to call him Ye Yasher. That's what he says, Ye Yasher. As a sign of what? Mate Ephraim says, a sign of appreciation, a sign of Akar Satov. That's what my father told me. And that's why you have to wait till after. I'll get to the answer in a second. That's a whole literature about Baltasar. But anyway, but the But as far as the tefillah is concerned, they should give yashikah to the kohen.
That's right. That's right. They got a bracha.
By the way, says that the Kohen say when they give the Ashikar, they say Baruch Tiyeh, Baruch Tiyeh, and then Shabbat Baal Teisa. There's no Baal Teisa before.
Ah, that's already been going on. That. The one I asked
the Rabbi
before
you went. Rabbi tells us you have to come here all the time because Baruch Hashem, then we have a lot of Hanoah.
Yes. There are a lot of people who vote for me to not come.
But I'm voting against that.
Quick question.
No, I don't take any questions. Only questions.
This is a question. A real question. I maintain that if people don't say, if they can, don't say amen after the pasuk, it's not chal on them.
You borech to Hashem Yisroecho, and then one answers Amen.
If he doesn't, he says it's not halal. My question.
It's not what?
He says it from the brother. You have to answer Amen.
Right, correct. So that's one.
That's what he said.
I'm saying.
Okay, what's the problem? It's great.
Well, people don't say Amen.
That's fine. But knowing to say borech from Rosh Hashanah, you probably know. Chashanah is all the essence. That's the brother. But Machon says Machon Taposki. Right, we say Amen. 100%. I'm very much to say Amen.
Yeah.
My father taught me how to behave during Brichas Kohanim as a little kid.
So I banged on the extender once and I said, you have to say amen, because otherwise the bracha is not chal, it's not up to me to say, you know, the mafrei it was.
Right, the Gemara says that amen, the Gemara bracha says that amen is three things. Hamonas dvarim, and one of the three things is Kabbalah dvarim. And the Kabbalah, the bracha, excellent. Good. You're masking for the Gemara. That's excellent. All right. Maybe I will, I'm not sure what I should do. I can go further. Maybe I'll just mention one more issue. And that is how the tzibur should behave in Birchas Kohanim. I mean, the Gemara says it's a famous Mishnah Megillah that a Kohen, who is a Baal Mum, should not doch it. And here's an issue. Even if he has, I think Abdullah says, even if his hands have a blue kind of dye, they're staying with a blue kind of dye. The Mishnah says he can't lift up his hands because people will look at him. People will gaze at him. That's how the Mishnah Megillah. So now, what? Okay, so that's the one mokum for the kula. The other mokum for the kula is you show me, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, quoted by the Boskin. People are accustomed to his appearance, they know. I mean, sometimes there was someone I knew was a painter. A kohen is a painter. So that's what he does for a living. He paints, but every time he has to spend half his days in with a leech. With turpentine. So you take off the paint, it's probably an impossible situation. But the Rambam passed in that the Kohanim actually, just that they should look at the people, so too, I mean, they should, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that they should direct their eyes towards the ground. But they also might become distracted. It might be Hesach Hadas on the part of the Kohanim. And the Tzibur should not look at the Kohanim. But there's no threat of losing your sight, despite the Gemara Chagiga that I quoted before, where the Gemara says very clearly that there's Man HaMikdash, that's when the problem existed, because it's then Shana HaMikdash, then you have an issue. But Rashi points out over there that when you look at the Kohanim, but the Man HaMikdash, it was like looking at the Shekhinah, and that's really not appropriate to look at the Shekhinah, because the Shekhinah Shruah ben Rashi Yisrael Seir, the Gemara says. Shekhinah was found resting on their finger. But the Gemara said that only existed when it's not a Mikdash. Only when they said Shem and Parish. So that's why the assumption is today that we're not concerned about this. But as you said correctly, I was going to point it out what the Beisesef said. The Beisesef said, Cairo, let's call the Yeros and Shekhinah. The custom of the Kohen, for example, in Mitzrayim was to cover their heads and hands with the talus in order that the Kohanim and the Tzibur will not gaze at each other. The Rambam quotes this minute as well. Matter of fact, this is the makor, I think, for the Tzibur to cover their faces with their talus and to cover their children's faces with their talus. I don't know any makor for it. I don't know any makor except for this. I didn't see it quoted. I'm trying to always, for many years, I'm trying to find what the source for that is. I mean, someone told me,
What should I bring?
I asked the Moshe Pavlik, you have the habit of okay. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, look at the snare.
I just referred to the person, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I don't, again, as I said, it could very well be. I think the issue is Not so much the issue of being distracted. That's the issue. And that's why the cover. Someone told me he thought that it's being done in order that's a sign of chadimus for my children. Anyway, so he said that's when he kisses his children. Yeah. I said, how do you kiss him in shul? It's against the blood in shul. What? Okay, but it seems that again, the tzibur should avoid looking at the Kohen. That's correct what you mentioned, and the Mishabura quotes over here something very striking. Here it is. Mishabura says, "Umidina ena asrael b'istakus beruba." Only if you do istakus. Remember, Rabbi Abraham says istakus means a penetrating gaze. Shelo yochol. That's why they cover their heads. If I'm not mistaken, I saw when the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechem Lebrocha, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, that he, at one point, he cites his Shmer, Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak Schneerson, that's a legend, very friend of Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak Schneerson, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So they write that the Alter Rebbe, the Balatanya, would take his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, before he got married, under his talus during Bichas Kohen. That's the only mocker that I know. This covering of the children, and that's the mocker. Yeah, okay, but there has to be a mocker that's not mentioned in the time of Shabura. Trust me, I learned it many times. And then the whole Torah Allah has done it a number of times. Of Beisaysev, never saw such a practice mentioned. And I don't know what the mocker for this, but I was suggesting a number of possibilities as you mentioned as well.
Where is the team supposed to fit?
So that's another discussion. Maybe I will be glad to discuss it. There are those who are makbid. Going to David Miller, moves from his place in the corner where he davens in yeshiva, stands right in front of the Kohen. Based on a rokeach, based on a comment of Rishonim, it should be fun. Can I get fun? It's really fun. It's going to be fun. So, but I don't move in Shmon Esrei. So I keep my feet together. So maybe I'm not doing that. Yes.
So why do we
continue
if the
world
is still
going
to be
Shmon
Esrei?
That's not what I said. I said I finished the Shmon Esrei. However, I still stand on my feet together. What I explained last night and a few other times. Namely, there are two dinim of Shmon Esrei. One din called Tefillah B'Tzibur and one Tefillah Hatzibur. It's a din Loshan Amman, Kach Shamati, from my Rebbe, that's already in Natsal. Namely, that there's one din that the entire Tzibur davens together, as he did. 1,000 people are davening, sounds what I say. And second halacha of Tefillah, not B'Tzibur, but Tefillah Hatzibur, one Natsig, the Shech Tzibur, represents the entire Tzibur in Chazar Shashat. So I stand for that also. My feet together. It's not a chiyah to do so. The Madrachaber is mashma, is supposed to stand, but then I have to be with your feet together. But I do, and I don't move. That's why Av Soloveitchik had practice on Yom Tov when he was a lady, and he would wash the hands of the kohenim, so he could tell all the kohenim that had come before davening, so he could wash their hands. That had come an hour before davening, and he would wash their hands. They had no choice, and he told them to come, and then he did not move the entire Chazar Shashat. The raya that this yisod is not necessarily accepted by all is the raya that they have to wash the hands of the kohen and they leave the Beis HaKnesses to do so. So obviously, you see that it's not required.
What about the kohen al-kohen?
What about it?
You're on the side.
Yeah, I'm not on the side. I try my best to be. I don't even know how many kohen I hear. Sometimes I do move if either Dr. Stern Schlita indicates to me, I see already the matzah, there's going to be more than the usual number of garden. So then I will move. Maybe I should daven in a different place. That might be helpful.
What about the plastic?
Plastic is not a problem.
It's not running my pump. It's still running
my pump. Plastic is not running my pump. It's not a function. I'm being arrived from the Sugi Buffers. You know, the Sugi Buffers is a little between Saya and Erevah Shoshis. But no, that's Sugi. Anyway, I'm going to go to my Shoshis. Erevah Shoshis is also even with the plastic. Riyah is the main issue.
What about the fact that
you yourself said, what was that? I'm not going to reshoot the Beis, I'm just in that place, I'm not reshoot the Beis. So we discussed it already 8 months ago when the whole Corona began, the issue was that that called a separate, within a separate pizza, a separate reshoot, it's not. There are some shuls that were makbid that they had, that the bottom of the plastic, that they went ahead and make sure it's not sober, it's not lover, it's not cancer. There's no, the pashas is no basis for that whatsoever. Anyway, okay, I just want one last thing that, what I wanted to say is that the Kohen doesn't have a talis, so someone asked me that. They didn't have a talis for the Kohen. So should he duch him without a talis? That certainly would distract the tzibur. Then he's going to distract the tzibur. I said, that would distract the tzibur.
You're not supposed to be looking.
And let's say a Kohen has a talis, which is possible. Should he wear it?
No.
For the bracha, so the Achrayim say there, that he has in mind, he's wearing it only out of the acheres, not as a beged. Not wearing it as a beged, which is actually you could use as a talis. But okay, but this is also an issue. But I think some achrayim say he shouldn't do it. Without a talis, he shouldn't do it. So once you give him the talis, obviously, for the sex, that would be the proper thing to do in order to address that issue. Okay. I think I told you the story about salvation. This is a true story. I heard it from a member of the family. I had it confirmed that a woman came to him and wanted to wear a talis. So he told her, just till the end of his life, I mean, when he was doing not so well. So he told her that she should wear a talis without tzitzit. And then see how she feels, what kind of euphoria she has wearing the towels without tzitzis. So she did so, took off the tzitzis. She came back to him a few months later, she said it was a gebalta. So he told her, because here the term is the chok hashmat. Not to show her that all day was special.
Well, a woman has a feeling of tzitzis and have reactions.
Of course not.
Okay, so that's what she can do. That's it.
It's right.
But a man,
okay,
to go up and
look at him. Okay. So let's say he doesn't realize it. Not it was so mocking.